Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Airway First, the podcast from the Children's Airway First Foundation. I'm your host, Rebecca St. James. My guest today is Dr. Mark Levi. Dr. Levi has over 30 years' experience as a dentist and over 20 years in craniofacial dental sleep medicine. He's a member of the Australian Sleep Association, the American Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine, and the European Academy of Dental Sleep Medicine. As a former sufferer of sleep apnea himself, Dr. Levi understands the problem from all perspectives. He also has the technical expertise to provide the best customized and appropriate solutions to suit each of his patients' individual needs. He has trained in the U.S. with many of the world's leading sleep experts and can often be seen on national television and lecturing around the world. You can find out more about Dr. Levi at drlevi.com.au. And now let's jump into today's episode with Dr. Mark Levi.
All right. Good morning. I guess good morning to you, Dr. Levi. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Rebecca. Hi. Good morning to you from sunny 6 a.m. Australia.
Nice. Nice. Yep. Still February 29th over here. So just the afternoon. So
I got your call from you said, hey, we want to talk to you, Mark. And I thought, I'm getting out of bed for Rebecca. That is to be able to educate more mums and dads and disseminate more information about kids and really kids who, by the way, kids turn into adults.
Right.
And so it's a pleasure to be able to hang out with you for an hour and have a chat, Rebecca.
Yeah.
How can I help you, Rebecca? What can I do for you?
Well, and I'll make sure I'll put the links and anything we talk about in our show notes for folks. But if anybody wants to check out your website, they can really get a good understanding of what you do. But I thought it would be better if we had a conversation to talk about, you know, how I know you said you started with adults. How did you end up, you know, focusing on children? And what exactly do you do with pediatric craniofacial sleep medicine?
Wow, good questions. How many hours have we got, Rebecca?
As much time as you want.
Well, I'm in America next week. So maybe we'll just carry on and hang out. So
come on.
Maybe we'll do that. Look, I gave a lecture in California not long ago. And I introduced myself, a bunch of medical people. I introduced myself as an oral real estate agent.
Okay.
Sadly, no one laughed. They were a tough crowd. And so I like to think, I mean, I'm going to come back to this, but I like to think I'm just a, you know, I've got a dentist degree in Australia about 100 years ago because I'm old. And I've got a dentist degree. And so I'm a dentist, really. I'm just a little old dentist in the city of Sydney, looking over the harbour and the opera house. And so I just tell people all day long I'm in the oral real estate business. But the real question, you know, is how did I get to where I got to? And that's a good story. So when I was 13, I suppose, I was still bedwetting a lot every night. And, I had a lot of jaw problems, I suppose, at 18. And, you know, I was my parents weren't educated or wealthy. We just plodded along. You just got on with life. But I was really heavy duty bedwetting. And then I had roaring asthma, almost died as a child of asthma. Went to hospital a couple of times, rushed to hospital, not went to hospital, rushed to hospital a couple of times. And so you get me at 25 and I've got a dentist degree from Sydney University. So mum and dad are proud of me. And then I get to 40 and picture this on Venice Beach, California. Picture this Bondi Beach, Australia. I can run 10Ks on the soft sand. That's an hour of running on the soft sand of the beach. I'm weighing about 70 kilos, which I don't know if that is in stones, but it's pretty slim and trim.
Okay.
And I go to the doctor because I've got a little bit of snoring going on. And my buddy says, "Hey, Mark, you've got this roaring Olympic gold medal sleep apnea. And you'll probably die, but we'll give you a CPAP machine, and I suppose you'll be okay." And so I drove back to the office, cried the whole way, because I thought, what is this thing I've got 25 years ago? Jumped on a plane about a month later to the US. And so I suppose I've been going to the US for about 20, 25 years, I suppose. And that's where I started. I started being a patient, and spent a lot of time doing adults, spent about 10, 20 years doing adults and being very clever at making mandibular advancement splints. So I probably wore a mandibular advancement splint for, I don't know, 20 years, because I wore CPAP for 3 years. And then after that, I fell into kids about 8 years ago. And so that's my story. And so I want to make a timeline date for Rebecca, and then I'll sort of stop talking for a second, maybe have a glass of water. But here's a
Okay.
timeline. I think we invented sleep, the scientists, about 40 years ago. Because I remember the story. I think it was a Russian Jewish New York doctor, and the kid had the MRI machine on, and it started making a noise, and they worked out the brain was busy. And I think that was 1960, but don't test me. Don't test me. And then, the adult dental sleep, I think, is about 30 years old.
Okay.
And I like to think that the children's stuff's about 15 years old. And so the reason I say all that, and my dates might be wrong, but I've got a lot of patients. You might have them in America, Rebecca, where they talk to their phones. And I've got a lot of patients that have those electric cars that don't take petrol. And years ago, people had mobile phones. And so the
Right.
world changes. So what I tell every single solitary patient that sees me, and we see people that fly in an hour to see me, not because I'm smart, just because there's no one around, is that I've got a long story of skin in the game, and I've got to fix my grandkids because of epigenetics.
Right.
And the world changes, and what we know in the last 5 or 10 years is different to what we knew 25 years ago. And so what we did 25 years ago that was sort of normal, acceptable, is no longer normal and acceptable. And so I'm pretty passionate about the fact that we need to get all the kids looked at. That's pediatrics. That's all I do. I do 90% pediatrics these days, kids, and about 10% adults.
Okay.
I'm very good at adults, but they're hard work. And we need to help the next generation so that they don't turn into Mark Levi's at 40 years of age. Does that make
Right.
sense, Rebecca?
That absolutely makes sense. It absolutely makes sense. And it's interesting because we do talk on here a lot about several things, right? You don't know what you don't know. So as parents, we didn't know. We've missed all the signs. In the medical field, it wasn't talked about 10, 15, 20 years ago. So we've missed a lot. And I think we're also passionate about the children because if you can fix it with them, as to your point, they don't end up like the rest of us with these conditions that could have been treated.
Correct. I mean, why are you talking to me in Australia? This is a dumbass question. I mean, you guys all think I'm in Austria or somewhere. You think we've got kangaroos jumping down the street. I mean, I talk to America every couple of days, all my pals in America, and why do you think you're talking to me, Rebecca, in Australia? What's your story? Why are we talking? You've got my best heroes in America. You've got my absolute Olympic heroes living in America. Why are you talking to me?
Well, because you are one of the best. And I'll tell you, we've also spoken with David McIntosh and Sharon Moore. We love Sharon Moore. This is a global pandemic. It is everywhere. This is not an American issue. This is a global issue. And we have talked to guests from all over the world because it is going to take all of us. And you have to take the information from the best all the way around the world and put it together so we can figure out how to handle this. That's why I'm talking to you.
Yep. Touche. You know, I tell parents often come to us and, well, we start with a consultation for kids and we muck around with the kids and we laugh our head off and we poke them and we have a laugh and kids think we're silly. And so is my four-year-old granddaughter. She told me not to be silly at her birthday party. Grandpa, is grandpa coming? Tell him not to be silly, mummy. So 4 years old. So the mums are amazed that when they tell us a 10-minute crying story, they don't understand why we go, oh, yeah, that makes sense and that's normal and we hear that every day and, yeah, okay, well, let's turn it around. And so they don't cry. Well, they do cry. They do cry. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why they cry. They cry because it's the first person that's listened to them for more than a 6-minute appointment.
Mm-hmm.
The first person has actually said, well, we hear that every day and we see that every day and we know why and we can turn it around. And that's not because anybody in my office is a, you know, superstar. It's just because that's what we do every day and we hear it every day and we want to turn it around every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me tell you, Rebecca, what we hear every day, because okay. I always say what you said, 90% of my medical, dental, allied health world, 90%, I say, no statistical data behind it, don't know what they don't know yet.
I don't know if that's right, but it sure feels right based on what we've experienced and we hear from parents. They're just looking for validation. They go into the pediatrician and they say, no, that doesn't exist, or they'll grow out of it. So 90 is probably a pretty good guess.
I saw a patient last week. I'm going to give you one example, then I'll give you a second example. But so I looked at this because I grew up on sleep tests. At one stage, we had 3 offices and about 50 staff. And I was working with a lung doctor and I got published in Europe in the sleep journals. So, you know, that's where I started with sleep testing. So this mom shows me this sleep test she had done for this little, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old.
Okay.
And so I looked at it and I read and I knew who'd signed it off. And it said mild sleep disordered breathing or mild sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
And then the treatment underneath said watch and wait.
Yeah, we hear that
so
a lot.
So I said to I said to the mum, do you know what this means? And she said, what does it mean, Dr. Mark? And I said, well, it means your child's not breathing properly. And she said, well, isn't it mild sleep apnea or mild sleep disordered breathing? And I said, and this is a big important thing in my office, Rebecca, we don't use labels. I don't see the point of using a big label. Yeah. I don't see the point of using a word like sleep fragmentation or upper airway resistance syndrome for a 35-year-old woman that's got neck ache, back ache, anxiety, libido problems, grinding her teeth, waking up feeling lousy and struggling to get through the day. Why the heck would you want to call that upper airway resistance syndrome when you can just tell her that her mouth's not big enough, she's breathing through a 1-bedroom apartment, not a 6-bedroom mansion in Malibu, and that she's not breathing properly? Why do we have to use labels? Anyway, that's just a little pet hobby of mine. So this lady said to me, she said, what's it mean? And I said, well, it means your child's not breathing. She goes, is that bad? I said, I don't, only if you want him to live. It's only bad if you want him to live. And she said, well, but the doctor said wait and watch. And I said, well, he's waiting until the child gets a lot worse. And then I took my glasses off. And I said, do you think I should be driving on the road without my glasses, or do you think I should wait till I'm blind or I crash the car? And she said, well, you need glasses on to drive the car. And I went, well, I've had lots of pairs of glasses. I mean, I'm not waiting till I get worse. And so that's my pet hobby. That's a pet peeve. And just to break up what I'm ranting about, let me show you one or two slides.
Okay.
One sec.
And we hear that a lot too. A lot of parents, that's just their frustration, is they get a lot of, they'll grow out of it, or let's just watch it.
No one, they don't grow out of it. They turn into Mark Levi. Give me a ring and I'll, actually on my website, Rebecca, I don't know why I did it. I wrote a really, really long bio. I'm not sure why. I've done some TV. I've done a lot of TV. I've done a lot of this and a lot of that. And I've lectured around the world. And I just get off on the kids. Otherwise, I'd be sailing three times a week, four times a week. We've got a great harbor in front of us. And I'm not old, but I'm old. And so I just tell mums, I'm only turning up for the kids so they don't turn into me. And otherwise, I'm sailing three or four times a week. No, I lost that train of thought because I was laughing to myself so much. I apologize, Rebecca. Forgive me. Okay, so let's go back to work.
Okay.
See, can you see this slide on the screen?
Yes.
So we show the mums this. So this is a kid I saw last week. Now, remember, on a Zoom, and I'm talking to America, and, you know, we're not having a consultation, and I thought I'd throw some slides in just to show mums and dads a little bit of context and a little bit of visual. So well, we sing a little song here. It goes, I don't know if I can sing for you. It's too early in the morning. Eyes and nose and lips and chin, top teeth and bottom teeth and tongue. I can see an airway, and a spine as well. So we sing the kids a song. But see this airway here? That's red, okay? Uh-huh. It's meant to be bright green.
Right.
Now, if you look at the numbers, it's meant to be 24,000 units, 2,400 units. And this airway is, I don't know, 50 units. I mean, it's meant to be bright green. But there's a worse one I saw this week. I saw a worse one. Where's my worst one? So share the screen, Mark. I don't know if this is interesting to you, Rebecca, or whether you've seen this before.
No, it is. It always fascinates me, especially when I see those and they've come from a place of wait and see. It astounds me.
If you give me 5 seconds, they tell me I'm good at what I do, but I'm not good at computers. So, you know what was good about COVID?
What?
Zoom.
Yeah, everybody.
We do so much Zoom now. Now, can you see that on the screen or not?
I can. Mm-hmm.
It's another kid this week. Two kids in 1 week. Now, this is a pipe to breathe through, okay?
Right.
This is what I tell mum and dad. We're talking real estate here. Remember, I'm an oral real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you meant to get air through that point, whatever that is. And you wonder why. And it says down, I know for a fact this is 5,000 units. And I know for a fact that it's meant to be 15,000 units. I mean, how?
Wow.
Oh, what have I done? I've changed up. How do you, that's just terrible. Now, because I'm on my computer and I've pressed a button, can you see that class one inclusion there, Rebecca?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a normal 12-year-old with about a 40, 45-millimeter maxilla, teeth all vertical, lined up, midline, mm-hmm. no gummy smile, no crowding. That's Mother Nature. We never see mm-hmm. that anymore. We see one of those a year.
You're we not the first person that has said that. Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
You're not the first person that's come on and said that. Dr. Moralia has actually said these unicorn children that he just rarely sees.
Yeah, well, that's not good. Now, mm-hmm. how do I reverse? All right, Mark. What else have I got here? What have I done? Hang on one sec. And I've got to get out of this, and I don't know how to. So I'm looking for the exit button. There must be an exit button somewhere. Delete. And what if I do that? Okay. I apologize. You'll have to
No,
cut
you're
this
good.
out. Oh, look at that anyway. Wow, I must have put that on the screen. Look at that. Can you see that on the screen, Rebecca, or not?
Yeah. So the trachea looks so tiny, right where I guess, what is that, the tongue or the teeth are coming back into it, and then it just opens up wide.
Are your mums and dads familiar with this, or do you want me to explain it?
No, explain it. Please do.
Okay. So that's your eyes. That's your nose. That's your top tooth front. That's your lips and your chin. So that's the front of the face. Nose, lips, chin. Nose, lips, chin. You with me still, Rebecca?
I am.
And then there's a tongue there. Okay. And then behind the tongue is an airway to put air down there. And if you don't get air for, I think it's 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, you're going to die. And so that's the pipe. There's only one pipe in the whole body to get air down to your lungs. Only one pipe. It starts around about here somewhere, okay? So don't get complicated with tonsils and adenoids, and don't get complicated with the nose, and don't get complicated with the mouth. Just don't get complicated. Keep it really, really dumb. Keep it really, really dumb in my office. There's a and we went to the hardware store, you know, your whatever your hardware store's called over there. We got Bunnings over here. And I bought a bit of plumbing pipe. And I hold it in front of the patient. It's about the size of an airway. It's about that long. And I say, look, if that pipe doesn't work, you're in trouble. And you know who I love? I love my plumbers and my tradesmen. And the reason I'm dwelling on this is because parents look at this and go, well, that makes sense. That's not complicated. My child hasn't got some weird disease. My child hasn't got cancer. My child hasn't got some label. My child just can't breathe. And they go, how come and why and what and how do you reverse it and la la la. But that's a really cool slide from a CBCT to show a parent. And look, I mean this is it, we could take this X-ray 10 times in 10 days, and it probably will change a little bit. But it's still basically, that's where you're up to. You know, that's where you're at to. So let's see if I can get out of the screen because I'm having a problem getting back to you, Rebecca. I've lost you totally. So if we stop for a sec. Okay, I've got another screenshot there. We're gonna have to stop at some. You're gonna have to edit me, Rebecca. Do you know
That's
that?
fine. Oh, that's fine.
There's one of my favorite slides. I like this kid. William's a great kid. He's a great kid. So eyes, nose, lips, chin. You with me still?
I am.
And so there's your pipe without color. So top tooth, bottom tooth, chin, tongue. Is there enough space in there for the tongue to sit? You know, I'm an oral real estate agent. Is there 6 bedrooms? Is it big enough for the tongue, or are 3 kids, mum and dad, living in a 1 bedroom studio apartment? And is that airway pipe going to work properly? Okay. And that's tiny. That's 3.9 is a pinch. That's just tiny. That's just. And I want to teach you something with a lady named Linda Oyström out of Sweden that did a research paper in not 2016, I think. And so, see that dot there? Can you see that dot there? That's the end of the bone. I think it's foramen magnum. It's a bone, okay? That's a spine. And see that dot there? That's soft tissue. That's the wobbly bit at the back of the throat. The wobbly bit at the back of the throat. There's a bone at the end of that. That's the top of the hard palate. That's the top of your mouth. That's the nose. Top. So there's a bone that ends there and a bone that ends there, okay? And Linda will tell us that if we make the oral real estate bigger, bigger, much bigger, inside the mouth, that the space that distance from there to there will increase. Now that is the coolest research in the last couple of years to make us all get excited. That we tell a mum and dad we're going to muck around in the mouth. We're going to shove stuff in the mouth that looks like a dentist, or look like an orthodontist, or looks like, you know, someone like that. And we can make real estate in the nose, the sinuses, even back here. There's a domino effect of what gets bigger. Did that make some sense?
It does. It does. And making it bigger means you're growing it forward, correct?
Say that again.
Is the main focus to grow it forward, to pull the jaw and everything forward?
I'm going to say I'm not smart enough to answer that question. I'm going to say this because I like to keep it simple.
Okay.
I like to say we're just going to grow. So,
okay.
You know, there are much more scientifically smarter people you can interview than me. I'm an outcome guy, and I just want to see the before and the after. And I want to see the after, and I want to hear the after.
You're listening to Airway First with today's guest, Dr. Mark Levi. You can find out more about the Children's Airway First Foundation and our mission to fix before six on our website at childrensairwayfirst.org. The CAF website offers tons of great resources for both parents and medical professionals. Visit our parents' portal, Clinician's Corner, Resource Center, and Video Library to see for yourself. We also encourage parents to join the Airway Huddle, our Facebook support group, which was created for parents of children with airway and sleep-related issues. You can access the Airway Huddle support group at facebook.com/groups/Airway Huddle. As a reminder, this podcast and the opinions expressed here are not a medical diagnosis. If you suspect your child might have an airway issue, contact your pediatric airway dentist or pediatrician. And now, let's jump back into today's episode.
So you asked me a question, Rebecca, and you asked me an intelligent question about whether I'm moving the jaw forward and growing it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I said to mums and dads. I said to mums and dads, I'm an oral real estate agent,
mm-hmm.
and I say to them, I just want the top jaw to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I want the bottom jaw to grow. I want the nose space to grow. I want the sinus space to grow. I want the tongue space to grow. I want the teeth space to grow. And I want the airway space in front of tonsils and adenoids down to the airway to grow. And so I just tell them I want them to go from a one-bedroom New York loft studio apartment with five children to a six bedroom Malibu. Well, not even, I want a ranch in Texas with a big house with six bedrooms and mm-hmm. a heliport and a triple garage, a swimming pool and a tennis court.
There you go.
And they understand that language because I said, you just don't, this kid just does not have the space. So then they say things like, well, what's the problem? Or is it the nose or is it the tonsils or, it's just the tongue, is it? And I like to keep it really, really dumb. And I say no. I say it's the craniofacial respiratory complex. And that's the whole thing above your shoulders.
Yeah, everything
so
all together.
So the thing above your shoulders is the thing that helps you breathe. And it's a multifactorial, complicated little thing. It's about oromyology. It's about tongue ties. It's about frenums. It's about tissue. It's about weight. It's about posture. It's about breathing. It's about real estate. It's about bone size, it is multifactorial. So does that help you, Rebecca?
It does. It does. It does.
So, can I tell you what? Go on.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
I've got two stories for you.
Okay.
What's the common, because I'm trying to relate to mums and dads, okay?
Okay.
So I'll tell you two stories. I'll tell you a couple of stories. Number one, they walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
We talk to them on the phone. We consult with them. I'm trying to use fingers. We talk on the phone and screen them because a lot of them are flying in to see us. I mean, you've got to show them some respect. You then do a consultation. You then do a lot of metric measurements. You then go and talk to the parents. That's four steps so far, and I still haven't done anything.
Right.
And often the parents say somewhere along there, well, what's it look like at the end? What do you do? What's it look like? And I say to them, well, I've got a dental degree, so I'm going to shove something in your kid's mouth. And I say, the girls hate me saying that because I'm not allowed to say that in the office because, you know, I get in trouble. But I'm just going to shove something in their mouth. And they say, really? Is that awful? And I go, no. They say, is the kid happy? I go, is the kid happy now? Does he look happy now? Yeah, well, we're going to keep him happy. And they go, but what do you put in their mouth? What's it look like? And I go, well, I don't know. Plastic, metal, fixed, removable, small, tall, made in America, made in Australia. I don't know. I've got a toolbox. And they go, well, can't you tell me what it's going to look like at the end? And I go, no, I haven't got a magic crystal ball. All I know is that I'm going to do a couple of steps to do my homework to work out what's wrong with your child. And then I've got to look in my toolbox, have a think about it at 6 o'clock in the morning and work out a strategy that in a, I don't know, month or a year or whatever will help your kid. And she goes, they go, well, how long does it take? And I go, well, I've been known to fix bedwetting in 2 days. They go, really? Well, sometimes. I've been known to have teachers in 6 weeks say, what's that child eating now? The child's 100 times better. I've been known to have children wake up in 4 weeks bouncing off the wall going, mummy, I've got more energy. And I say, and I've also got other kids that take a year and a half to get better or they don't. So
every child's different. Yeah.
Every child's different. But the common story, which is where I started in my head, the common story I hear every day is the mum looks at the one-year-old, the four-year-old, the five-year-old, the six-year-old and says, my child's not thriving. It's very common. Mums know. They then go to we call it a GP, a general doctor, the general doctor guy, not the pediatrician, the general doctor guy. Maybe he sends them to a pediatrician, maybe not. From there, they go to the ear, nose, and throat guy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my guys will then send them off for a sleep test overnight.
Mm-hmm.
They then go back to the ear, nose, and throat guy. Remember, the child's still not thriving.
Right.
And the mums and dads are driving around town from appointment to appointment, spending money. And then they get the tonsils and adenoids or something chopped out, which I'm okay with generally, but not every single solitary child in the world should have their tonsils and adenoids chopped out or whatever they chop out. There's a time and a place for all of us in this circle, all of us, all of us. And so from there, the mum goes away and maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't. And a bit doubt, maybe it doesn't, maybe it helps a little bit. So they then go back to the ear, nose, and throat specialist and then they go off to an allergy doctor. And they maybe spend a year at the allergy doctor, and then they're still worried about little Johnny. And so from there, they might go back to the ear, nose, and throat guys and say, what do you reckon? And they go, well, maybe we should do some more surgery. And at the same time, the dentist is saying, I wonder if we should pull some teeth out and put some braces on because I think little Johnny's teeth don't fit in his mouth.
Yep.
And so we hear that story a lot every day, and lately it's bothering me lately. And so one of the reasons I'm talking about it on your Happy Little American podcast or global podcast, I apologize.
That's all right.
Is because mums and dads need to know that that's common, but not normal.
But not normal. Mm-hmm.
Common, but not normal. And so that's not okay. And so that's a common story we hear. I'll give you one more story that I'd really love your people to understand and hear. It's about labels, Rebecca.
Okay.
I want to tell you about labels. I want to tell you about our old real estate agent. I want to talk for hours. I don't know. I think I need a coffee soon. You know, it's crack of dawn here in Australia.
I know. I know.
I only got out of bed for you, Rebecca, and your wonderful audience that listens to your wonderful work at CAFF. Wonderful work that you do at CAFF, and hanging out with Airway Health Solutions and all the wonderful heroes of mine around the world that you collaborate with. Very credit, you know, whoop, 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 whoop. So very impressive.
Thank you.
I was going to tell you about labels.
Well, mm-hmm.
I think it's important people understand that up here, they told me at 40, I've got the worst sleep apnea they'd seen in forever. Forever.
Mm.
And so they gave me a label. I could go back to the office and go, oh, I'm so famous. I've got roaring, severe, obstructive sleep apnea. Let's go look that up on the – there was no Google 100 years ago. Let's go look it up and see what the heck I've got. What the heck have I got? And so and I cried the whole way back to the office because on my own, because I didn't expect – I didn't take someone with me to hold my hand.
Yeah.
And I'm a 40-year-old man, and I'm thinking, oh, this will be a nothing appointment. So – whether your child, and I'm going to go up this ladder. You ready to go up the ladder, Rebecca?
Yep.
Up the ladder.
Yep.
You ready?
Yep.
They're all the same. They're all the labels are the same. They all mean lousy breathing. Now, I don't know how you say that in American. I don't know how that you say that in French or Italian or any other language you're translating to. But I just want to use the language, it ain't big enough to get enough air to go down the pipe. And maybe you should interview some of my dads that are plumbers and builders, because they just look at me and go, well, that's absolutely damn obvious. Yeah, that's just, if I did that building, my building, it would fall down.
Mm-hmm.
And so mouth breathing is not okay.
Right.
Snoring is not okay.
Nope.
Gurgling, snoring noises is not okay. Fly trap in the back of the car with the mouth wide open. Well, that's not really a label, but I've thrown it in for the heck of it. Fly trap with the mouth,
yep.
The head back and the
right,
mouth
in the
wide
car
open.
Seat
that's
open.
Awful.
Yeah.
We call that
mm-hmm.
fly trap. Upper airway resistance syndrome. Sleep fragmentation, obstructive sleep apnea, or just plain old sleep apnea, or plain old apnea. They're all labels, and they all are labels that go, oh, you're not breathing very well. And so I'd like the mums and dads, because I mostly do naught to, no, I don't. I do 4 to 12-year-olds, 4 to 15-year-olds. That's probably my box. I just use the simple term so the mums and dads can go home and go, so we're going to grow this kid so we get air down there.
So they can breathe.
And then this Dr. Mark guy, who's obnoxious, loud, passionate, and waving his arms around because, you know, he's so passionate.
Mm-hmm.
That Dr. Mark guy's told me that all he does all day at work is make jaws grow. And it's actually called the maxilla and the mandible. And that Dr. Mark guy in his office, when they go home to the husband or whoever they, the mum, I don't know, they go, all this guy does, he told me, is he just mucks around, makes jaws grow, and I don't know, turns on the epigenetics or whatever he does. Okay, and then they say, but what about all the symptoms my kid's got? You know, what do I do? And I go, well, I don't know. I'm not in the symptom department. That's another department. But guess what? If we do that, and I hold this piece of paper, normally that gets better.
Yep,
How many
because it's the root
symptoms would you?
cause.
How many symptoms would you like me to put on the piece of paper? There's only 50 there, but I'll give you another 20 if you've got time for me to write it out, and I'll bill you more because I've got to write all those symptoms down. It's exhausting. So do you
Yeah.
want the symptoms to go away, or do you want what do you want from my life? And so, I'm very passionate about mums and dads understanding what we're meant to be doing and why. So, but the other label that mums and dads should be aware of is the ADHD label and the ADD label, and there's a lot of labels in that box. For that matter, when I talked, when I, it's quite funny. You talk to a child, you talk to the mum, you write notes in a pen, because I use a pen. I apologize, I still use a pen in my hand when I'm consulting. And the mum goes, oh my God, that sounds like me. And I say to the mum, well, where do you think the kid got the problem from, mum? And so the labels of mental health and ADHD and all these other hyperactive, there's lots of labels, lots. And I'm only a dumb dentist. I haven't got a medical degree in Australia. I'm just a dumb old dentist. My job is not to diagnose and look at all these things. My job is to look at underdeveloped jaws and have an airway focus. And maybe I should have mentioned the word airway every 3 minutes in this webinar. Maybe every 3 minutes I should have said airway focused, airway focused, airway focused, because nothing else matters. Airway
Right.
focus is the issue here. And so there's a great lady, you probably know Karen Bonnock in the US,
Oh,
Professor
yeah.
Karen Bonnock. And Karen's a poster girl, you know, she's famous in my office. She's a poster girl for ADHD. We got a whole poster of hers and her photo up there and a screen. No, I'm only kidding. But she's a celebrity in my office. And everybody knows if someone wants to give your child the label of ADHD, then has anybody ever asked a question about their airway or breathing or sleep? Airway, breathing, and sleep. Has anybody asked? We made a form actually for the doctors, a 22 question, 2 minute form. Screen to test for hey, here's a quick question for mum and dad. Just tick yes or no. Take 2 minutes. And I mean, how long did that take? 2 minutes to ask 22 breathing, sleeping, airway questions. Maybe we should get some other guys and girls to look at this problem. Maybe we should, you know, get everybody else to look at it. Look, I'm gonna have a glass of
Agreed.
water, Rebecca.
Agreed.
I'm going to stop talking for a sec.
Yeah.
No one gave me a brief of what to talk about on this chat with you, Rebecca. So, gee whiz, I don't know. I don't know whether I've done the quote, done what I'm meant to be doing, but you might want to ask some questions. You might want to ask some questions or whatever you have to do.
You absolutely are doing exactly what we were hoping for. And I want to say, because you've said it, and it really is such a succinct way of saying this. And no one has ever actually come on here and said it like that. The labels thing, just throw it out. Just throw it out, because it is. And as a parent, when your child has these labels, so they feel it. And just get to the root cause. The root cause is airway. And that's one of the things we're like, you were very passionate. And that's what we're focused on, is airway awareness, because it's all there. Everything can change.
Yeah, I mean,
Blood
I don't know
pressure,
if ever,
sleeping, everything.
I don't know if parents, I don't know if every parent understands the word root cause though, Rebecca. Yeah. You know, for a while we had a tree and all the symptoms and the roots, and I hated it. I just hated it.
Did you?
I hated it. And in the end, I told the girls, I said, Go and make me a piece of paper with that I can just yell at them about. Just give me a piece of paper.
But it's just, it's easy. It's easy to understand and fix this and everything follows.
I think if I gave you, I never thought about it, but maybe I should get a plumber onto my website and talk about plumbing. Because I got to tell you, we see teachers, we see nurses, we see, you know, we see lots of different mums and dads.
Mm-hmm.
All I do is kids, nothing else. And we're,
yeah.
I don't know, we're back to back and underwater. And the girls are fuming with me that I'm going to America next week. Fuming. How dare you take 3 weeks out of the diary and jump in an airplane? We need you here, boss. So you make me laugh and think to myself, I need to interview a plumber and get him to explain to me how a pipe works and how a pipe collapses.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I did. I went to the hardware store and I bought a black pipe, which is in my other room. So I haven't got it in front of me. I apologize. I didn't bring my props. But if it upsets me enormously when a mum says, well, my child's got this cute noise he makes all night long. It's really cute. I can hear him downstairs.
Nope, it's not cute.
You know, I've got a, you know, they tell me the kid snores and I always go, so is that like sleeping next to him, standing next to him, downstairs, or in another suburb? Oh, no. Front door of the house, I can hear him. And I go, has anybody told you should be worried about that? And so there's lots of issues there. What else did I want to tell you? I think that
makes sense too, because if you think about, again, back to where we started, the timeline 10, 15, 20 years ago, think about all these things that we grew up with from Archie Bunker on. I mean, we're going way back into the archives for shows here because I do. But from there forward, how many of these sitcoms was dad snoring and it was just, you know, insert laugh track. And then now, oh, the kid's snoring. That's so cute. You know, we didn't know.
Well, you don't know what you don't know. And I like to do normal and common. I also like to, you know, we haven't discussed the brain
and how it impacts it.
Well, we haven't just, because remember, I from sleep 25 years ago, you know, sleep medicine, really. I think my business card says oral. It keeps changing, but craniofacial dental sleep medicine. I think it says this week. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a label.
That's what it says on your website. Yeah.
And I think the girls want to change the airway dentist. I don't care. You know, but we haven't discussed the brain. I'm passionate about the brain. I've learned a lot about the brain. I've read about the brain a lot. You know, the glyphatic irrigate. I tell my patients is. You know, the glyphatic irrigation system that cleans the brain, they found it 8 years ago or 9 years ago, glymphatics, and lights up at night. And there's some really cool stuff about the brain and what they've found and how and where and why. And we didn't know that 15 years ago. And so I say to the parents, you know, the parents say, is the brain important for the kid while they're sleeping? And I go, you know, we do a lot of that laughter stuff. You know, I think the brain's about, I always ask the kids, is the brain busier daytime or nighttime? And they go, it's busier daytime, Dr. Mark, you silly person. And so I say, no, well, actually it's not. And occasionally the kids go, oh, it's busy during the night. And I said, who told you that? And so there's a lot to it and it's all above the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to it and it's above the shoulders. And my goal is to see no adults, because if you fix the four-year-olds, then you won't have an adult patient at 35 or 40.
Yep.
And wouldn't that be amazing if you fix all the four-year-olds, and then you won't have a problem with the you won't have any adult patients, and you'll be that'll be a really, really cool thing. There's another joke, you know, the brain we're discussing. I think I have to go soon, Rebecca. There's a brain thing I was discussing with you, Rebecca, and because no one's got me a cup of coffee yet, Rebecca. It's crack a door. No one's given me a cup of coffee. So I thought that was part of the deal with you and I, that you
Right. I
organized
was
the
supposed to
coffee.
send you coffee. I know. I dropped the ball.
So there's a great story with I say to the parents, you know, in Australia, private schooling's very, very expensive. And you know, it's expensive in America. The universities are expensive. Education's an expensive outlay for a parent, and they want the best for
Right.
little Johnny. The best for little Johnny. And I always say, I'd like someone to do a research paper. Can you reach out to someone and go, what happens if we get 10 out of 10 oral structure, 10 out of 10 breathing, 10 out of 10 sleep, and 10 out of 10 brain? God knows how my brain worked when I was 15. I mean, I'm surprised it worked at all. How did I get here? So what would happen if you had a 10 out of 10 brain in relation to private schooling and university? I mean,
A
the brain is
machine.
going to, I mean, who needs to pay $40,000 a year for a private school with a fancy logo on your lapel? If someone can just get your airway to work, and your brain's going to be smarter. It's rhetorical. It's very rhetorical. And I've got no idea what the answer is. But I do ponder that often, having paid for my kids to go to private school. And I ponder, you know, what would change. And then the other podcast you've got is the podcast that says, how many hours a night are people sleeping? And that's another one-hour discussion.
Story.
It's
yeah.
a one-hour discussion on the brain. There's a one-hour discussion on, are we sleeping enough? And there's a one-hour discussion on getting a plumber onto your website and talking about plumbing instead of this fancy schmancy medical dental airway stuff you spruik. So,
hey, are you
Rebecca,
when you're here for the next few weeks, are you going to be at Airway Palooza?
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Then swing by the booth and say hi to us. We are actually, CAF is the sponsor for day one of Airway Palooza
Really?
Because it's Kids Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
is that right? Well, I'm
it
very
is.
annoyed with America because I'd like to go to a conference every weekend. And you guys get to jump on a plane and just pop over to
And just
Dallas and
go.
pop over. And I got to plan it way in advance, and then I've got to got to get there and fly there and la la la. And you guys just pop in and pop out, and so I keep on seeing these emails of these conferences I want to go to, and I go, oh my God, you guys are so lucky. So then the question is, maybe you should have a 1 hour podcast with, why aren't 250,000 dentists going to all the airway conferences in America? When it's a one-hour flight on an aeroplane, when that dumb Australian guy flies, I think I fly a day and a half to get there and a day and a half to get back. I don't know. And my wife is really upset that it's always America. She says, can we go to Europe, please? Because, you know, can we go to Europe on the way home? Can't those Americans make a conference in Europe somewhere? So,
hey,
hey,
world sleep.
Credit to all of you. Rebecca, you're doing... you're doing some magical work in your space, helping mums and dads understand that little kiddies, and I like to say under the age of 12, that's my language, you don't have to agree with me, and getting those little kiddies to grow and develop and thrive properly.
Right.
And so the mums and dads understand why. And there's a joke with that. That goes, I treat half of Wagga Wagga. It's a town in the middle of nowhere. It's like Nowheresville. I mean,
okay.
It's a nice place, but it's like in the, and I treat half the town, I think, because I think one mother told another mother, told another mother, and told another. It's like a 9 hour drive in the car. So, and so you've got all these conferences and you're doing magical work. Let's get these guys to turn up. These medical, dental, allied health guys and girls to turn up and change these kids' lives and help them thrive and help them
That's
breathe
what we
better,
want.
help
That's
their
what we
airway
want.
work better.
That's what we want. And I'll tell you what, we're counting on those airway mama bears to get the word out. That's who does it. Well, thank you so much for being on, and enjoy your coffee. And I can't wait to have the opportunity to sit down with you at Airway Palooza.
You know, whether it's Airway Palooza or whether it's another course or another speaker or another, there's no one shop in America that's doing everything for everybody. We're a team.
That's right.
One of my people calls it the Airway Circle, and we're all in it together, and
we
all overlap, and we all turn up to different courses with different doctors with different flavors. We all cook chicken soup. We all have different flavor to how that we all make vegetable soup. We all have different flavor to how we make it. We all culturally come from different heritage, but we all turn up together with one commonality. And the commonality is the kids.
Yep. Because it's going to be a collaborative approach. It's going to take everyone.
By the way, there's another hour there to talk about adults. We can talk about adults, but you know, I didn't get my coffee, so I'm not going to hang around for another hour. So, but, you know, there's another speech there with the adults. So there's another, you've got enough material. You've got enough material for weeks, Rebecca, weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I, from Australia and Dr. Mark Levi, from Australia, Sydney, Australia, and all our icons, the Bondi Beach and the Upper House and our kangaroos. It's wonderful, wonderful to be able to help and speak and share and just share my spin on Airway and kids with you, Rebecca. And thank you for what you do. Thank you very
thank
much
you.
For what you do with the kids, okay?
Thank you for what you do, and I appreciate you coming on. Thank you
pleasure.
So much.
Talk soon. Bye.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to today's guest, Dr. Mark Levi, for sharing his medical insight, and each of you for listening to today's episode. You can stay connected with the Children's Airway First Foundation by following us on Instagram, Facebook, X, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to the Airway First podcast on your favorite podcasting platform so you won't miss an upcoming episode. If you'd like to be a guest or have an idea for an upcoming show, shoot us a note via the contacts page on our website, or send us an email directly at info@childrensairwayfirst.org. Today's episode was written and directed by Rebecca St. James, video editing and promotion by Ryan Drawn, and guest outreach by Christy Bochinkian. And finally, thanks to all the parents and medical professionals out there that are working hard to help make the lives of kids around the globe just a little bit better. Take care, stay safe, and happy breathing, everyone.